Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, South Carolina, as we get the third hour of the Rob Brown Show underway right here on ESPN Upstate. 97.7 FM, 97.1 FM, and all around the world on your smart speaker. You just tell Alexa to play ESPN Upstate, and she'll say, "Bong." Playing ESPN Upstate from radio.com. That's right. That's where we're at. That's what we got going on. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being a part of the show. It's a busy day on the broadcast today. Cam Newton agrees to a one-year contract with the New England Patriots, the 2015 NFL MVP, who just turned 31 years of age, will now be stationed on the sideline with a guy who is arguably the cheatingest, greatest coach in the history of the National Football League. Now, I want to clarify that. I don't know that he's the cheatingest coach. I know he's the coach who's been caught a lot of times cheating and also is the only one who's cheating seems to have had as large of an impact on a career as it has. And we can get back into that discussion if you'd like to. The phone lines are open at 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. Or you can text me at 71307. I do indeed have the text line up here at the Casa de Love, so I can see your text as they are coming in real time. Back in the first hour of the show, I said that on Sunday, I went out on a pontoon boat with some friends from the Radio Ranch out to Lake Kiawe. And got to experience Party Cove at Lake Kiawe, which was a really, really cool experience. It was absolutely beautiful. We had the waterfall going in the background, and that's the first time I've ever just been sitting on a pontoon boat right underneath a beautiful little waterfall. We had the thick green trees surrounding the cove. People out there spaced away from each other on their boats with their dogs out there swimming and the people swimming and everybody drinking and having a good time. And I will tell you, South Carolina, that as over the top as this may sound, and I've been told it's a wee bit dramatic, and that's okay, I'll roll with it. I felt like it was the state of South Carolina welcoming me as a place for the first time. I have felt very welcome here since the moment I got here back on March. Let's see, my first show was March 5th. I got here March 4th because I don't plan well. for the first time since March, I have felt welcomed here by you guys, the listening audience, the entire time. You guys have been kind. You have been gracious. You have been welcoming. I know that for people who were born and raised in the upstate, that the swell of people that have moved here over the past few years has been slightly annoying. I really do understand that. I come from another part of the country down in the Florida Panhandle that has been swelling with people over the last couple of years. And a lot of people that were from there were very frustrated by it. Traffic gets worse. The infrastructure loses its ability to maintain the amount of people that come on to the proverbial grid, if you will. And so I understand that, but I loved being there in a place where so many people from so many different backgrounds and walks of life all came together. And I feel the same way here. I mean, look, as Mark Ryan and I have both said repeatedly on our respective shows, we want to be a part of this community. That's our goal. As a matter of fact, and speaking of becoming a part of this community, we'll let you all know that I have just confirmed just a few minutes ago via the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, Coach Andrew Lord, their brand new bench guy, will be joining us here on the Rob Brown Show to make his upstate radio debut coming up at 1:20 on Thursday afternoon. At 1:20 Thursday afternoon, Coach Andrew Lord, the new head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, will join us right here on the show to talk a little bit of local hockey. So, our goal is to be a part of this community. It is to be a respected voice in this community. We want to respect you guys and have you respect what we're doing here with the station, which is why we have always told you, if you want to hear more of something, let us know. If you want to hear less of something, let us know. You guys have every bit the ability to help us program this station in terms of what we talk about, what is talked about. You guys are every bit the programming director as we are here on ESPN Upstate. You guys have been so welcoming, so kind, so gracious since I got here. It has been up until yesterday. It has been a place that I moved to. And this Sunday, when I sat out there on Lake Kiwi, with my feet dangling off the front of the pontoon boat into the perfect, clear, crystal clear waters, looking at a waterfall trickling down in the background, looking around at the birds flying around and these beautiful, green, thick, luscious trees growing on the side of these hilltops that surrounded the lake, it felt like home. It really did. It felt like home. It felt like I belong here. It felt like I'm a part of this area, this community, this environment, if you will. And I am very, very happy to say that that I woke up today, and I mean this sincerely, I woke up today with a brand new sense of vigor. I woke up today with a brand new sense of drive, not just to come in here and do the Rob Brown Show and do it well, but I came here to do what I can do to give you guys a local sports talk radio show that you can be proud of, that you can want to make yours, that you will want to be a part of, that you will want to grow with, and I hope that we are accomplishing that. Speaking of being welcome to the area, Tim, I have yet to get your input on what has been the longest-running topic of conversation here on the show, but the text just came in at ESPN, what would you like on your cheeseburger? Tim, I've gotten many votes from many areas. What's the best cheeseburger in the upstate, pal?
The best cheeseburger in the upstate. Ooh, there's a lot of good ones around here, man. Over in Spartanburg, there's a place called Ike's. I haven't been to in a while, but it's really good. Bad Daddy's really close to the station over here, man. Put some buttermilk bacon on a thing and some cheese. Oh, so good, man. So honestly, I'm going to have to go with that one. That being my personal favorite.
Ike's has been the number one submission so far.
I believe
Ike's
it.
Ike's has gotten more votes. Ike's has gotten more submissions than anyone else, anywhere else, hands down. Now, there
Do you know
been
why?
Some, why is that?
It's because last time I remember going there, they don't squeeze or the grease out of the burgers and everything, so they leave the flavor in, and it's just got an unbelievable taste in there.
I would like to go on the record and say this. Dear America, when you are grilling a proper hamburger, okay, what you elect to put onto the hamburger is on you. I don't care if you're a mushroom and onions guy, if you are a classic ketchup and mustard, if you like to spice it up with a little relish, Not too long ago, I had a Cajun burger from a local gastro pub that had a it had crawfish. I mean, yeah, it was obviously catering to the hometown kid. It had crawfish and andouille sausage. It had melted cheese across the top of it. It was absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Whatever you want to put on the top of your hamburger, go bananas. You have my support to personalize your hamburger in whichever way you feel necessary. But, ladies and gentlemen, whatever you do, when that hamburger is being flame broiled on that open grill, or that hamburger is being cooked to perfection on that flat top stove, whatever you're using, no matter what you feel is the correct thing to do, do not take your spatula and press down on that burger. I know that there has been this fascination sweeping across the country over the past few years of people who like, and I guess, and I'm not calling out this restaurant by name, but unfortunately their name has just become synonymous with this style of grilling or cooking a burger, a smash burger, where someone takes that that spatula, that flat spatula, and they smash down on that burger and flatten it out. Do not do that. You are pushing out all of that juicy deliciousness that makes a fat, juicy hamburger or cheeseburger fat and juicy. If you want flatter burgers, then pat your burgers down flatter before you put them onto your heat source. That is how you make the burger flatter and more gives you more coverage area for your condiments. If you don't like a big, thick, rounder burger, then flatten that pate out a little bit more before you put it on the grill or you put it on the flat top. But once you have it cooking, once that burger is being cooked on that heat source, do not flatten that burger down, because you are pushing all of that juicy deliciousness out of the burger, Tim, and you're taking away from the best part of having a fat, cheesy hamburger.
I completely agree with you. That's why I love it, the way they do that at Ike's. And like, that's basically their motto. It's just like, we don't flatten them, we don't press them. We just cook them, and they cook it right in front of you, too, if you sit at the bar area. And it's just watching them cook the burgers and fries. It's just... it'll give you cholesterol just watching. High cholesterol watching.
Mm. Listen, if you're not prepared for the health risk of having a fat, juicy burger, get a salad. Okay?
That's
all I'm saying, Tim. Get a salad.
Amen!
Get a salad. You'll be all right. Get you a salad. You'll be just fine. Look, the premise of a good burger, the premise of a good burger is to have all that juice and all that goodness cook inside of the meat and keep it nice and healthy and moist, okay? That's what you're going for in a burger. If you want dry, overcooked meat, then go down to the local buffet, grab you a grade M steak, cook that bad boy medium well, and enjoy that leather strap that you call a meat. I want juicy and moist. I want it dripping off the bun after I take that first bite. I want all that juice cooked into the burger. And when you smash down on a burger, you have effectively and thoroughly ruined said burger. Here's a couple of texts that have come in. This one from Justin. ESPN, thank you, Rob. Everyone that posts a video of a smoked brisket that they slow cook for 15 hours or whatever has to make their first cut and then just squeeze the juices out for a money shot, and it's just culinarily infuriating. That is the first time I have ever heard the phrase culinarily infuriating, and you could not be more accurate, Justin. Thank you for the text. Also on the text line, at ESPN, Rob, I love the show, but one thing we could hear less of is our rival New Orleans Saints. This is Panther country. I am very well aware, Texter. I am very well aware.
Keep pounding, baby.
But What I want to be abundantly clear of here is that the conversation I had earlier in the show involving the New Orleans Saints was not about the New Orleans Saints, with all due respect. That conversation was about the New England Patriots and the National Football League as a whole. Yes, I was utilizing the New Orleans Saints as an illustration because that is the team that suffered what I thought was a pretty hefty wrath o' the ginger hammer when Roger Goodell decided that for not breaking any rules and for doing something that plenty of other teams have done throughout the history of the National Football League, in the middle of a Super Bowl run, Sean Payton had to sit out for a year. The Saints lost not one but two NFL draft picks and a fine of $500,000, whereas Bill Belichick, once again, broke an NFL rule, has broken the same NFL rule repeatedly, and the Patriots got fined $1 million and one third-round pick. And that was it. That was not a conversation about the Saints, I promise. That was a conversation about the fact that the NFL has once again played their cards, shown us that they don't care about small market teams. And I don't know, Tim, is it fair to call the Panthers a small market team?
I mean, do you call Charlotte a small market?
I mean, I don't know is the answer, right? Like, I don't know that I would say that they are or aren't, I guess. I mean, I guess I call them a mid-market team. I mean, they're not Chicago. They're not New York. They're not L.A. It's not a small market team either. Look, I know that, you know, New Orleans is a small market team. San Antonio, Texas, that area, small market team, et cetera. Those are small market teams. I don't know that I would call Charlotte a small market team. I know as far as like the NBA goes, they're down there. They're kind of, I'd say, bottom 60% in terms of viewership. So maybe. But the point that I'm making here is the texter says, ESPN, Rob, kind of my point. You keep making connections to your team, you homer, LOL. Yeah, but like I said during that conversation, if this was about any other small market team, right? This just take New Orleans out of it. Apply that punishment to another small market team. Apply that punishment to any other team that is not considered in a major market. And then tell me that it's not a problem the way that Goodell is treating the Patriots versus the way that he treats the small market teams. Yes, unfortunately, at this point, the illustration happens to be my team. Sure, I get that. But just apply that. What if it was Carolina? What if it was Carolina in the midst of a Super Bowl run with Cam Newton, the new kid on campus, and Ron Rivera got sat down for a year while Bill Belichick gets no punishment at all levied against him? Just tell me that I don't have a point. You can be mad at the illustration I use, but tell me I don't have a point. 844-GSP-ESPN, text me 71307. Quick break, back after this. Rob, Tim, you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
steaming towards the end of the Monday edition of the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate, 25 minutes after the 2 o'clock hour. I am Rob Brown. DJ Tim back in the network studio pushing the button, switching the switches. Tremendous to have all of you with us today. Thank you very much for spending your time with us. Hope that you'll join us at 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. Text me at 71307, 71307 if you'd like to go in that direction. NASCAR. I don't know who ticked off Mother Nature in the NASCAR circuit, but I am relatively sure, and I think this is accurate, 100% of the races that have been slated since NASCAR made its return to the track 6 weeks ago, 100% of the races have had at least a one-plus-hour-long rain delay. At least a one-plus-hour-long, and it happened again at Pocono yesterday. They raced on Saturday, a little bit of a delay on Saturday to get going. Then on Sunday, another long delay. The race on Saturday was delayed like an hour and 45 or so. And then yesterday's race, the 300 mile, or what was it, 340 miles, I think it was, that race delayed as well due to rain, to the fact that, to the point that they thought they might have to push it back until Monday in order to get the race in. They were able to complete the entire race before it got too dark to race. No lights there at the Tricky Triangle in Pocono, Pennsylvania. So instead, Denny Hamlin does get his sixth win. He has now tied Jeff Gordon as the most winningest driver at the Tricky Triangle overall. Remember, he won both of his rookie races at Pocono when he made his debut on the circuit a few years back. He just notched number 6 in the belt of the Pocono Tricky Triangle over the weekend. And I will tell you, that race up until about the last, 7 laps or so, was pretty good. But as I told all of our new NASCAR fans last weekend, it's a very interesting track, and it is a track that can make a race where you are talking the top 4 cars are all within a quarter second of each other, or you can have a race like we did yesterday where with 9 laps to go, we're all on the edge of our seat thinking we're about to have ourselves a barn burner, and then when pit strategy cycles through, all of a sudden, guys like Bubba Wallace who are running inside the top 10 are looking at a top 20 finish. Guys like Kevin Harvick, who was in the middle of the pack with about 60 to go, finds himself in second place. It's just a weird track, and it gives you these setups where pit strategy becomes everything. As a matter of fact, I was watching towards the end of the race, and Larry McReynolds on the Fox broadcast, who I got to tell you, NASCAR is very fortunate because I think that they have found with Joy and Gordon on the play-by-play and color commentary, and Larry McReynolds as the virtual crew chief, I think that they have hit on a very, very solid bit of chemistry on their broadcast. But McReynolds was talking about late in the race how some guys' decision to pit earlier or some decision to pit later was going to impact them. When they got down to the very end, when they were going to have to start coming in, if only to top off the gas cans to be able to finish the race up, McReynolds at one point made the point that for some of these guys, all they needed, I mean, they were only going to need 3 or 4 laps worth of gas in the car, which basically equated to come down pit row, come to a stop, connect the gas can, open it, and then immediately just pull the gas can away because that was all you were going to need to get 4 laps worth of gas into that engine. And he ended up being spot on, but the strategy very solid from Denny Hamlin. Kevin Harvick had a hell of a run late in that race to boost himself all the way up to second. In fact, the most entertaining part, obviously, was getting right down to the end for the battle for 7th through 12th or so. As you guys had, you had guys banging their race cars together all the way down the home stretch to the checkered flag. Very entertaining race. I enjoyed it greatly. Both Saturday and Sunday's races, as both came together very, very well. I'm curious as to how my new NASCAR friends felt. Those of you who are getting in, and I will tell you, just for the sake of being honest and watching this thing play out, you know, I've talked about over the past couple of weeks, I wondered how many of the new NASCAR fans, the fans that came in after the flag was lowered and Bubba Wallace kind of became an overnight sensation as a celebrity for NASCAR, how many of those fans would stick around? And I did see a number of fans, new fans, that were still giving it a shot. I'm not saying that they were all completely sold on it, but I have seen a few of them sticking around, and I wonder if that is going to grow or catch on. I do think we need to see more races where you've got guys battling all the way to the checkered flag for the win. But I went and checked Alvin Kamara's Twitter feed, and he's kind of been, I think, he has kind of been the face of the new fans, if you will. He got into it very soon after Bubba Wallace took to the track at, Talladega with the Black Lives Matter car. I looked down his Twitter feed yesterday during the race, and he was absolutely tweeting up about NASCAR. He was tweeting up. He said, as a matter of fact, Bernard Pollard Jr., another NFLer who's gotten into it, said, "Is three wide a strategy? I've been hearing that lately, but clueless when I look for it." And then Alvin Kamara answered him with, "Just three wide across the track. LOL, I was thinking the same." Then he tweeted out shortly after that, retweeted another tweet that said, "Pocono has the widest track on the straightaway. NASCAR cars can go three, four, even five wide, but have to condense heading into the turns." One of the dignitaries who has kind of come over as a new ambassador for the sport, Alvin Kamara, is still watching, is still tweeting, is still asking questions, is still talking and teaching his followers about the sport. And I think that's great news for NASCAR personally. 844-GSP-ESPN, one segment left, and then we'll head over to Tim to guide us through Twitter trending topics to wrap up the show. You are listening to The Rob Brown Show. Your thoughts are welcome. 71307 is the text line. Call me, 844-477-3776. Back after this on The Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Steaming towards the end of the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. 71307 is the number if you'd like to get us a text. Call us 844-477-3776. Email me, robbrown@espnupstate.com. robbrown@espnupstate.com. If you'd like to go in that direction, all of those viable ways for you to get in touch with us right here on the broadcast. Big news if you're a golf fan. Or I should say maybe not great news if you're a golf fan. As Fox Sports has apparently elected to get out of the golf business for the time being. Over the past couple of years, the U.S. Open has been broadcast on Fox. The USGA's Marquee Championship, however, has found a new home, or I guess I should say, is just moving back to its old one. The AP reported last night that the U.S. Open will return to NBC beginning with this year's championship at Winged Foot, which is slated for now for September 17th, postponed from its original date last month. I guess I should say earlier this month in June due to the pandemic. The report stated that the move, which is expected to be formally announced sometime today, is a response to Fox Sports acting out of its current contract with the USGA, which runs 7 more years through 2026. NBC had broadcast the U.S. Open and other USGA championships from 1995 all the way to 2014 before the USGA surprised many by signing a 12-year deal with Fox, which had not previously broadcast any PGA Tour events. Golf Digest reported determined the deal came with a $1.1 billion price tag that averaged out to $93 million per year. One source told the AP that NBC would pick up the final 7 years of the contract at roughly half of the rights fee. Fox received plenty of criticism during its first Open telecast back in 2015. Shortly after that, it let go of Greg Norman as its lead analyst and replaced him with Paul Azinger in subsequent years. The broadcast team received better reviews, a consequence in part of gaining more experience in golf broadcasting from a team that, well, frankly, just didn't have any. According to the report, Fox officials were considering moving this year's U.S. Open to FS1, given the potential conflict in September with NFL games. That idea did not go over well with CEO of the USGA, Mike Davis, which led to, quote, deeper conversations about the contract and how it could be resolved. Look, this is a problem that golf has had and will have. You had a solid number of boom years when Tiger Woods was at the top of his game. And I think that this kind of plays over to NASCAR and other sports, in that when golf was at its peak over the last couple of decades, it was when Eldrick Tiger Woods was at his peak. It was when Tiger Woods was out there on the course, on the prowl, black pants, red shirt, black cap, and just absolutely putting the screws to everybody whose first name wasn't Eldrick. It showed me, and I think it showed television broadcasters everywhere, that when you open up a sport, even if it does have a history of having a particular demographic attached to it, it showed me that if you actually open the doors and if you let new people into that sport, you let minorities into a sport where they traditionally haven't been, I'm not going to say welcomed here, but maybe where they have not felt welcome, that it will lead to a boom for you. And again, I think this is what NASCAR is trying to accomplish right now. It worked in golf. It worked in golf so well that when Tiger was at his best, the USGA ended up signing a plus $1 billion contract with one television network to put its tournaments on TV. And then that went away. Now, there is not another superstar on the tour right now that has the draw to anybody that Tiger Woods did when he was out there dominating everybody. Somebody asked me the question not terribly long ago because we were having a very similar discussion. Somebody asked me the question not terribly long ago, would the results have been the same for golf if Tiger Woods was a white guy? If Tiger Woods was a white dude, but all of the numbers stayed the same, the victories, the dominance, if all that stayed the same, would golf have enjoyed the same boom years? And I'm going to say the answer is no. Now, it still would have been lined up for some of its best years in broadcasting existence. It still would have done ridiculous numbers. It still would have gained new fans, especially younger fans. But I don't think that you would have attracted as wide, as diverse of an audience to put eyes on television as golf did, because Tiger Woods was a black golfer and an Asian golfer. That brought people to the sport that ordinarily would not have been there. I have said this many times. I remember at the height of Tiger Woods, I lived just around the corner from the Fort Walton Beach Municipal Golf Course. I spent many, many days going out to the Muni. I'd get done with work. I'd go home. I'd put on the spikes. I'd pick up the bag. I'd walk around the corner to the Muni, and I'd head out to the range, or I'd go get a round of Twilight in. I'd go get 18 or even a quick 9 on the Twilight in. And I did not remember until Tiger was in his boom years, every day when I would get to the course, there would be golf lessons going on. Edwin Watts, I'm sure you've heard of Edwin Watts Golf Shop. As a matter of fact, I think you guys have one here. But Edwin Watts, who obviously ran the Edwin Watts Golf Shops, Edwin Watts lived, when I lived in Shalimar, Florida, which is just outside of Destin, Edwin Watts lived across the street and two houses over from me. Edwin Watts gave me golf lessons when I was a kid. I should be a better golfer than I am because of it, but it is what it is. Anyway, there was an Edwin Watts golf shop at the Muni, the Fort Walton Beach Municipal Golf Course, where I sharpened my game. My game is still very dull, but I tried. And every day when I get off of work, and I head over to the Muni to either hit the range balls or to play a Twilight round of 9 or 18, there would be golf lessons going on. And before Tiger Woods really hit his stride when I was a younger man, those golf lessons were primarily all young white kids. And then after Tiger Woods became the dominant force that he was, you'd start seeing black golfers show up. You'd start seeing even more female golfers show up. You would start seeing more diverse cast showing up to participate in golf. And then when you'd start playing the golf school tournaments that would go on, that they'd put on for their students, all of a sudden you would start to see more black golfers in the tournaments, more female golfers in the tournaments. You'd start to see more of a representation of a diverse audience in the group. Then when Tiger Woods was really at his peak, all of a sudden Tiger Woods video game became a big thing. All of a sudden, if you had an Xbox, you were playing Tiger Woods 2012, the one with the Masters course attached to it. All of a sudden, you started to see golf become cool. It was cool to like golf. It was a sport that even if you didn't come from a background that had a lot of golf attached to it, you could still get involved. There was space for you. And I think that's what NASCAR has been pushing at, and it's what you're seeing getting away from golf right now. I watched that golf tournament on Sunday. I watched the Sunday round. I was flipping back and forth between the end of the Travelers and the Masters. And while you do see, I think you do see more foreigners, and I think you have started to see slightly more minorities out there, you really don't see the minority representation out there that even one guy in Tiger Woods did when he was at his peak just a few years ago. And now we have financial proof that that is the case. $1 billion contract signed by Fox, and they are just flat out walking away from it, not even halfway through its contract, which means they are leaving upwards of $500+ million on the table by walking away from that contract. And the USGA thinks it's better that way. So just kind of interesting for those of you wondering why NASCAR is making that push. There is a financial reason that you can see NASCAR making that push laid out right in front of you. Take a break. We come back. Tim will walk us through Twitter trending topics to end the day here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, now it's time for Rob Brown's Twitter trending topics of the day. First off, Rob, we're going to start off with J.R. Smith.
Yeah, J.R. Smith and the Lakers look to be finalizing a deal that kind of started talking after Avery Bradley opted out of the NBA's restart to stay home away from the Rona virus. All I can ever think back to is that that moment from a few years ago in the finals when J.R. Smith in game one against Golden State had that boneheaded move where he came down with the rebound and there was only like 3 seconds left. And he just wasn't paying attention. And he didn't put the ball back. He should have taken the shot and put the ball back up. He didn't. He kicked it out LeBron, who had to fire up a desperation off-balance shot that didn't go. And LeBron, I don't know if you remember this, Tim, but it has become an internet meme A-class. LeBron turns and he gives him that shrug in that face like, what the hell are you doing? And it has become an internet meme that I have used more times than I can begin to count. I'm sure LeBron is just ecstatic about the chance of dragging J.R. Smith to another NBA Finals.
Oh yeah, I definitely remember that meme. I use that a lot too, so it's quite funny. But then next up, I want to get your opinion on it, see if you know Mike Leake.
Mike Leake.
Mike Leake.
Mike Leake. See, I immediately want to go to Mike Leach, because Mike Leach is a riot, but also not the like he is somehow simultaneously. The smartest and least intelligent guy in college football. He's been having issues over the past couple of weeks at Mississippi State. Mike Leake is the right-handed pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, who is now the first known major league player to opt out of the 2020 season. He was positioned to be fighting for a spot in the back half of the Diamondbacks rotation, but is elected not to make his way back to the rotation for the Diamondbacks. Instead, will sit out this year. It has also been announced that Mike Leake's father is paralyzed. Now, I do not know if that was from an accident or a medical condition or not, but his father is paralyzed. His father is severely immunocompromised, and so Mike Leake has elected not to go out and risk that because of his family. It does appear his family had his father had an accident in 2013 that left him paralyzed from the waist down. His immune system is compromised. Look, I'm going to say this, as easy as it seems to say on the outside, Tim, until you have dealt with somebody directly who has gone through the devastation that COVID-19 can wreak on you. And by the way, Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz, remember, he was the one who tested positive that kind of started the shutdown of the NBA and domino affected everybody else. He said he's still not completely healed. It's gone. He doesn't have COVID-19 anymore, but he doesn't fully have his sense of smell back. He said there's some other minor impacts that he's still dealing with. The one thing I would say, Tim, to everybody as we get ready for the return of sports over the next few weeks is Do not judge athletes who decide not to play, because you don't know what their reasoning is, and it might very well be a good one. Mike Leake, I have no issue with him deciding to bow out and step aside for a year to keep his father safe. No problem with that at all.
All right, next up, Izzo, relating to Tom Izzo.
Tom Izzo is trending on Twitter right now, and that comes after Emmony Bates, who is one of the best basketball prospects to head to college ball since Bron Bron. Tom Izzo has been recruiting Emmony Bates since he was in middle school, and Emmony Bates says he will announce the decision today. Now, there has been a little bit of drama going on between him and Michigan State, but a lot of people think that he is leaning in that direction, and if he goes there, that would be the biggest recruit that Michigan State has gotten from some time, and it could bring, potentially, Tom Izzo back to the Final Four for the first time in a hot minute.
Next up, big news out of the Golden State area, hashtag Golden State Killer.
The Golden State Killer. Now, I have not seen why that's trending today, though I have a suspicion. There is either a movie or a book that is coming out today or sometime this week about the Golden State Killer. And it the book that either the movie is based on the book or the book itself is coming out was written by the late wife of comedian Patton Oswalt. And this young lady had apparently been studying the Golden State Killer for years and years and years. And this is supposed to be a very revealing tell-all that's going to get into some of the drama of the law enforcement officials pursuing that case. I don't know about you, Timbo. I am a sucker for a murder mystery.
So am I. Any documentary on the Golden State Killer, all these other serial killers, I just love to watch them. It's on the television. I'm sitting down watching it.
I don't know where the morbid fascination with serial killers comes from. I think we all have it, right? Like, Everybody has at least some level of morbid intrigue with serial killers. Maybe not to the level of some of the crazy women who, like, fall in love with serial killers for one reason or the next. But, I'm a sucker for a good murder mystery and a good serial killer mystery. I don't know why. It's horrible. But I'm gonna find out exactly what's trending, what's dropping that's making this trend, and you can believe I'm gonna be jumping headfirst. Yeah, what is it? Please do.
So yeah, basically he's confessed to being the Golden State Killer. That's basically what it is.
So they think they got the guy, huh?
Oh yeah. Well, they made an arrest a couple years ago on it, but D'Angelo, I believe, is his name. He's officially pled guilty. That's
excellent.
Why it's trending.
I will be looking into that. Also, I'd like to go on record and say that, contrary to popular belief, Toby Flenderson was not the Scranton Strangler. I know that's a very popular theory, but I do not believe that Toby Flenderson was the Scranton Strangler. I think he should be off the hook. That's going to do it. An office conspiracy theory to wrap up the show. What else could you ask for? Offsides with DJ Tim and Mark Ryan comes up next. Make sure you stay tuned for that. I appreciate you guys listening. Hope you enjoyed it. I enjoy bringing it to you. Back tomorrow to do another edition of the Rob Brown Show, home edition. You are listening to ESPN Upstate. Later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.